Of course, it reflects the mood of the nativity story that we've heard read in those passages from Scripture. But I do wonder if the mood of this story is somewhat different to the general mood in Melbourne over the last 24 hours. In these gospel accounts of Jesus' birth, we have anticipation, we have joy, we have wonder. And yet yesterday morning, of course, we woke to the news that an alleged major terrorism plot planned for the centre of Melbourne had been foiled in the nick of time. And if your reaction was anything like mine, you were simultaneously filled with relief and yet deeply troubled. I wonder if, as 2016 draws to a close, you harbour a concern that wonder, anticipation and joy are growing ever more elusive. We lament the ongoing conflict in our world. We observe the political climate that has yielded post-truth as the term of the year. Do these things tempt us to retreat into ourselves somewhat, to become just a little more cynical? Does the nativity story have anything to say, or does it seem like a fading image in a shop front window, lost amidst the Christmas bustle and our growing anxieties? Yet as I was reflecting on this, I observed just one detail from Luke's gospel that might be more relevant than it first appears. We have these shepherds, they're ordinary people. They're going about their ordinary work. They're minding the sheep. They're minding their own business. And suddenly they're met with a divine visitation. And they are terrified. The presence of God interrupts their world. And God's presence initially causes terror. You know, I find a strange comfort in this detail, because it shows me that God is awesome. Awesome in power, terrifying in glory. That God cannot be domesticated to a cartoon cutout in a shop front window. He can't be tied down to a pretty cardboard angel atop a Christmas tree. I find this comforting, because if God's visitation through his angelic beings is not a benign but a terrifying experience, he's obviously a God who has some power and some authority in this universe. He's obviously to be revered, to be held in awe, not to be trifled with. And then if he also proves to be compassionate and loving, then he's a God I can build my life upon, even amidst the threats and the dark circumstances that life in this world can bring. And indeed, we find that this awesome God has come to bring good news. His angel says to the shepherds, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Israel had long awaited a ruler who would be the greatest king ever to sit on a throne, a divinely sent rescuer who would deliver them from their enemies and bring restoration to the whole world. In the 8th century BC, the prophet Micah foretold that this child would be born in the town of Bethlehem. And now God is publicly announcing to this group of ordinary men on the outskirts of Bethlehem that this king has been born. He is the Savior, he's God's rescuer. He's the Messiah, God's anointed one. He is the Lord, the one through whom God will exercise his loving rule over the whole world. And so joyful is this news, it cannot be contained merely to words. It must be announced in song. And so the angels sing, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favour rests." This Saviour will bring heaven and earth together into a perfect unity of peace No more will God seem distant and far off. No more will humanity labor under the sun without a sense of purpose. A new relationship with God will be made possible through this child. The greatness of God will be seen more than ever before through the peace and harmony this child will bring. The shepherds are then given a sign. They'll find this baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And so they hurry off. They find Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, just as they were told. And when they'd seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds are given a sign. They put it to the test. They find things exactly as they were predicted. The child's there, wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, an animal feeding trough. And they spread the word far and wide. Mary goes a step further. She ponders these things in her heart. She turns them over in her mind, trying to piece it together. Here are the facts, but what do they mean? She doesn't brush aside her questions, but she meditates on them. And so this is Luke's account of the birth of Jesus. Prophecy fulfilled. Angels bring the message on God's behalf. The shepherds find it all to be true and tell others. Mary turns it over in her mind. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to those upon whom his favor rests. Wonder, anticipation, joy. You'll notice that there isn't a cynical figure in this narrative. There's no one who simply folds their arms and disengages. They take it seriously. The shepherds don't put the angelic visitation down to a bad mushroom and go back to bed. Mary doesn't numb her inquiring mind on a Netflix bender. These people know their history. They know the prophecies that were made. They're given a sign. They check it out. It's true. They joyfully tell others. They reflect on it and they praise God. Theirs is not a cynical response. Theirs is an open-minded response. There's no blind faith here. But there is acceptance of the word and the sign that is given. This is not an ignorant, childish faith, but it is a childlike faith. Are we capable of childlike faith today? Do we see the value in it? Or does it seem to us a little too much like naivety? Perhaps in the current climate, childlike faith seems too risky. Can we afford to open our hearts and minds to the Christmas message? Or will we be falling for another post-truth soundbite? Is religion altogether too risky now? Are religious texts, such as the Christian Bible, too volatile, too potentially dangerous to be trusted? Is it wiser to disengage, to put our guard up? But let me ask another question. Why did God announce the message of Jesus' birth to a group of simple shepherds on the outskirts of Bethlehem? Why did he give them the privilege of being the first gospel preachers? Why didn't he announce these things to important people like the Emperor of Rome or at least the Jewish aristocracy? And why was Jesus born in the small town of Bethlehem and not in the more important center of Jerusalem? Why on earth was he born in a stable and placed in an animal feeding trough? Why wasn't he born in a palace fit for a king? Well, as we heard before, the manger itself was a sign. Not only a sign to identify the child as the Messiah, but a sign that this Messiah would not rule according to the world standards of wisdom and power, but who would turn these values on their head. The kingdom that Jesus rules will be one in which the first shall be last and the last shall be first. A kingdom where the mysteries of God will be hidden from those who regard themselves as wise and will be revealed to those who are of little account in the world's eyes, yet who open themselves to God with childlike faith. A kingdom whose king does not exalt himself, but who humbles himself to be born in a manger, and yet again humbles himself to die on a cross for our sake. The manger is a sign confirming the angel's message, but it's also a sign that challenges our encroaching cynicism. This Christmas, as we turn over in our minds the significance of the trends and events of the past year, be they in public life, be they in our private lives, the sign of the manger invites us back to a childlike faith. The manger invites us to put our trust in a God who became weak and vulnerable for our sake, so that in him we can find security, strength, and wisdom that lasts for eternity. The manger melts our cynical hearts as we see there a child more vulnerable than we are prepared to be, whose life would be one of continual sacrifice to bring us back to God. We have nothing to lose, and we have everything to gain by building our lives upon him. Have a blessed Christmas. Amen.